Hello, everyone, and here we are on this beautiful first Sunday of April. I hope that it's as beautiful for you as it is here for us. It's one of those days where you can just open the door and the outside temperature is just perfect. The birds are singing, and I see the ground squirrels running up and down the hills, and blue jays darting after them. Nature is alive. It's happy, and it sees the birthing of a new season. And this is what I really, pardon me, perhaps a little more water would be called for. This is what I really want to talk about. I've been trying to get to this subject for 3 weeks, and as it turns out, there was a longer runway in arriving at this subject than I thought there would be. So in God's time, we hope that we'll be able to at least touch on it a little more today, and that is the subject of personal rebirthing. If they tell us that, when I say they, scientists and medical researchers tell us that every 7 years we don't have a single cell left in our body that was there 7 years before. Our body is constantly creating new cells, and we look around us and we see the world changing. We see relationships changing. We see technologies and economies and world issues constantly changing. And if we're not very careful, we can actually grow old. Even at the age of 20, we could grow old inside of an old concept, a worn-out concept. And the point of bringing this up is we have a continual need to rebirth ourselves in a new and vital way of being. And I would say that this is probably the most important message of Yeshua's life when he lived it then, 2,000 years ago. His birth into immortality and his continuation with us through the ages. You see, it wasn't enough that he lived a historical life. He could have lived a historical life and still had a huge impact on humanity. But his most incredible impact on humanity was his own rebirth and his own encouragement for us to see ourselves as not locked into the stories we live, but even while we live this physical life, to know ourselves as immortal beings who can recreate the life we live. Just as our bodies have the wisdom to recreate the cellular structure. Because there's a limit to which any cell can it's a limit of elasticity, let's put it that. It's a simple way of saying it. There's a much more technical term we could get into that I don't want to take time to cover in this course, although we probably will get into that in depth in Yeshua on Health and Wellness. But let's just call it a limit of elasticity. We've all seen the limit of elasticity in stories. The classic one is the story of two people falling in love, getting married, and then arriving at the point 2 or 3 years later where both of them are kind of collapsed at the coffee table with their best friend saying, "Well, I guess the honeymoon's over." The honeymoon doesn't ever have to be over. What's over is the original romantic story that led this couple into the excitement of falling in love, which then led to the honeymoon, and maybe it led to having the first child, and after getting up every morning at 2 o'clock and struggling to make ends meet, pretty soon the honeymoon is over. But that doesn't mean the love is over. It doesn't mean that the second honeymoon can't be even better, more passionate, more loving, and more filling than the first one was. But that's a classic example of what I mean by the limit of elasticity. We've all felt it in our careers. where we get into this career and we think, wow, I could do this for a lifetime. I hope you've had the opportunity to feel that way. Some of you may have had the wisdom to realize there aren't any careers that you're going to be excited about for a lifetime, but you can be excited about doing your best in whatever you do for a lifetime. And that's probably a better orientation. But whether it's a relationship or a career or a place you move to, thinking, this is the most beautiful place in the world, eventually all stories come to an end. And we have to recreate our vitality, either within the story or within a new story at some point. And how do we create that renewal? That's what I've been trying to get to the point of discussing. So I'm going to actually open the floor up because now that I presented the theme and we're 7 minutes into our call, it's very possible that if today is the day we truly address this, some of you will bring to the table your epiphanies, your realizations, your renewals, your springtime experience, and all that good energy that you want to talk about. So press star 5, and I'll watch for your call to come in. So I think now is really, really the best time to take calls from. Okay, we have someone here from area code 989, and you're on. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Glenda. We had at least a half inch of fresh snow in the past hour. So, no, it's not
goodness.
Spring here. It's not spring here at all.
Well, it is in your heart.
I had a very significant dream this morning, too. So I probably will not be staying here much longer. Not because of the snow, but just because of other stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I just thought, well.
That's a perfect compliment to what I was saying. All
Indeed.
Stories come to an end.
Indeed.
You move there thinking, I'm going home. This is the place I will be for the rest of my life.
Well, I don't know if I thought that. But
Or similar. You were certainly glad to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a renewal experience for you. I remember when you went there.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're ready for a new renewal experience.
I believe I am. Yep, it's time. Yep. So I got that message this morning out of a perfect dream. I was like, okay, cool, I got the message.
Let's well, when go. You know where you're going, let me know.
I have a good idea, and you're going to love it.
Okay, well, let me know when it's time.
Yeah,
anyone else want to speak?
Okay. Bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye, Nancy.
Bye. See you later.
Okay. Do we have another caller? Even if it's not springtime, even if you got a blanket of snow, probably, Jerome, if you're on the call, you saw a polar bear today, but that still could be a renewal. Let's hear from anyone. No one wants. Oh, okay, here we go. Here we have Colleen. And Colleen, you're on.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
I had a wonderful experience today at church. I went to the Unity Church. And I've had a really difficult time trying to figure out what to do in life and where I belong. And today, during the meditation, it came to me very clearly that my issue is how to be in the world and not of the world. And then during the minister was speaking, and it came very clearly to me that I had fallen into the belief that I was going to hell. And I was raised in as a Catholic and loved the Catholic religion and then searched elsewhere. So it feels like that is the beginning, the end of the old and the beginning of the new. At which point I was talking to a friend who was talking about the apostolic lineage. And I don't know where that's going to be leading, but somehow that's the next step. So I feel like the renewal is beginning, and I'm so grateful.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And, Colleen, I don't know if you know this, but Spiritus Church was bestowed the full lineage of the original church, all 21 lines that have ever existed in history. Not because we're supposed to live inside history, mm-hmm. but because through that lineage, we are taken back to the beginning, which was when the apostles walked with the Master. And that brings up an interesting, also an interesting, and more than interesting, a very powerful connection to the blessing and the renewal. A lot of people were actually kind of anxious on my behalf right after I completed the Lamb and the Lion, because I was taking it out to all the denominations of churches, and they were afraid I was going to be harassed or belittled or called a heretic or some obnoxious confrontation, and they were concerned about my innocence and my my psychological safety in doing that. You know what? I never, ever was confronted by anyone saying one negative thing about me, my faith, or that I was portraying him. And it didn't take me long to realize that of all the doctrines that have sprung from his teachings, the one commonality is him.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of Christ. And that's why I'm sure that in this work we were bestowed that complete lineage, the apostolic lineage, not because of its historical value, but because it takes us back to the origination point, which is Christ. And getting back to something I said a minute ago, the great value of his life is not that he lived 2,000 years ago, but that he still lives now. If he didn't still live now, I would have great respect for this person that lived 2,000 years ago and changed the world, and I would still study his work, but he wouldn't have the impact on my life that he has. The impact Christ has on my life is that he's alive now.
Mm-hmm.
See the difference?
Yeah.
The impact, the safety that I've experienced in going out to all the denominations is I've been given, I don't mean this to sound like a military term or a police term, but I've basically been given a silver bullet. And that silver bullet is a bullet that doesn't wound. It's a bullet that heals. It's the one thing that all denominations have in common. And denominations were created by man. The faith behind Christianity was created by Christ.
Yeah.
And when we find that renewal in his blessing, we find our own immortality. We find ourselves being in the world but not of the world. Mm. What is it? This is what we're going to discuss later on in one of our powerful talks in Yeshua and Health and Wellness, and that is, what is it that allows the cells to recreate themselves so that every 7 years we have a completely new body? What is it? Because if they just simply duplicated a dying cell, we would be only in the world of entropy, and our bodies would not be able to recreate new life. What's the life force that causes the body to be able to recreate itself? Now, there is an entropic force inside our body that is what is causing us to age, and many researchers are looking into how can we actually lengthen that span and shorten the entropy. That's just around the corner, but what they're working with is basically this energy of life that's the eternal fountain of youth, and it does exist. It does exist, and we're very close to the cusp of demonstrating it scientifically, but spiritually, we know that it exists. And I experienced when I took the Lamb and the Lion out to all of these churches, before long, I was just to show you, this is before I was ever a minister. You being Catholic can really appreciate this. I was invited to give presentations, the homily, behind the altar, which was reserved only for priests.
Wow.
And I would look out in the audience, and I would see people that were obviously not of the Catholic faith. They were Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
There were sometimes Buddhist, sometimes an occasional Muslim in the audience of a Catholic church with me before I was ever a priest standing behind the altar talking about the Lamb and the Lion.
Mm.
Okay, that I'm sure a Catholic will really appreciate.
Yes.
The miraculous nature of all the walls, all the boundaries falling, because the solvent to all the boundaries had walked into the room. You see?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the spiritual psychological safety we have when we get back to the origin of the message and the originator of the message and the Holy Spirit that constantly keeps the origin of it alive, not only in the world as a faith, but in our life, the very spirit of life that's reborn in us every day. And this was the energy that was talked about by the apostles in the first generation of Christianity, because they understood the message. And it's fascinating how messages get repeated in shortened and more limited and more fixated and more distorted ways. It's kind of like the childhood game of gossip we used to play. You remember how we would, as children, we'd sit in a circle and somebody would just say a simple line to somebody. And we were always amazed by how completely altered it was by the time that it was whispered in the ear of 20 other children coming back to full circle.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens to teachings. It's what happens to stories. And it's what happens to our personal life. And so the original spirit of renewal was actually knowing ourselves as an immortal being in each new moment, and receiving the Holy Spirit in each new moment. Yeshua never taught us that once and for all we would receive the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, and then we are once and for all changed. He taught us to receive the Holy Spirit every day of our life and be forever changed and be forever in a growing mode where we're not of the world. We're in an immortal mode. We're ever receiving, and in order to receive, we have to be forever emptying the cup. We have to let go of what's in the cup. And what's in the cup could be everything from past successes to past regrets. It could be unrequited love to grudges that we're holding. Whatever it is, we have to keep emptying the cup in order to make room for new blessings to enter the cup. And emptying the cup is the first cycle of renewal, allowing ourselves to be as a little child. Receiving is the second step of renewal. And then being able to face tomorrow as a new day, face the unknown as an optimistic orientation, look at the past, bless it, but know that it doesn't write your story anymore. Then we turn and we face the whole eclectic possibility of all that nature and humanity and God has provided for us, knowing that what may come for us may be greater or different than anything we had preconceived. That's the spirit of renewal. And that's the spirit of renewal we bring into these blessings. So thanks so much, Colleen, for opening up that opportunity for me to share that. We have Janice on the line. Janice, Let me just open your call.
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hi. It's so funny because this morning I was thinking about renewal and being in the moment, and I was thinking about what a beautiful place I live in, but after a while, just like you said, we want to change and we want to go someplace different, and I was thinking, how can I get back to that place, the honeymoon of when I first moved up here, and it's being in the moment. I remembered when I was working, I was driving 60 miles one way to work every day, and it was really killing me, and I was so exhausted, and it just seemed to be getting worse and worse every day, and I started thinking, how can I change this, or how can this change? And so I let go of all of the past, my memory of driving every day, and then I practiced being in the moment on the freeway every morning, being in the moment of now. And not too long after that, I was in the company website, and I came across a work-from-home program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I presented it to my boss. I said, do you know about this? And he said, no, I had no idea this huge company offered working from home. And even the HR person didn't know about it. So I knew it was a miracle that I just kind of stumbled across it. And then that's where I'm at now. I'm working at home. And it was not me creating it. It was being in the moment and letting go of the past and letting God create, basically, just being with an expectation that my needs would be fulfilled, but without creating myself, without making anything happen. And I was kind of thinking about that this morning, how I've been having the opportunity lately to talk to a lot of people about being in the moment of now and letting go of the past, because the past is how we create our future. And the only way to open up and renew our life is to let go of everything we've ever thought we knew, mm-hmm. and let something better come in.
Mm-hmm.
Receive, like you said, receiving.
Exactly. Exactly. And just to give a little bit of a scientific basis to what you're saying, it's been absolutely determined that we tend to clone every new moment from what we learned in the past. The mind actually clones. Most of us right now are in a cloned moment. We're not really being here.
Yes.
You probably know about this little phenomena of the blind spot. We actually have a blind spot in our vision that our mind fills in. But if you really were either in an optometrist chair or you were inside of a scientific experiment where you could be shown exactly where your blind spot was, you could experience that blind spot. One of the reasons we fill in our blind spot is because of efficiency. Another reason we fill in our blind spot is it's a survival thing to fill it in. Another's just convenience. But the biggest reason, I think, from a spiritual perspective, we fill in our blind spot is the very reason we have one in the first place. See, I think God created blind spots in our life so we would have to face the unknown. Because it's the unknown where our miracles come in. It's the unknown that challenges us to see something we didn't see before. But the reason we fill in the blind spot is we're afraid of the unknown.
Yes.
And so we think, well, if this is an unknown, I better get my adrenaline pumping. Because we go into fight or flight in relation to the unknown. Because we've had too many unhappy surprises. The percentage of unhappy surprises is really not greater than the percentage of happy surprises. But the funny thing is, after we've had a happy surprise, we don't look back on it as a surprise. You know, if somebody comes to our, if a friend comes to our door with cake and ice cream and we weren't expecting it, we forget that that was a surprise, and we just incorporate it quickly into the fact that this is my friend. I love this person. She loves me. Isn't it great that we're having ice cream on the patio? We forget that it was a surprise. When we, the surprises we remember are the ones when we check into our bank account and find we're overdrawn. Those are the surprises we hold on to. So naturally, we look back on the equation of unhappy surprises, and it seems like all the unhappy surprises were bad ones. But most of the time, they're not. There are some, yes, of course. We've all had a few unhappy surprises, like that fender bender we had that and our insurance had lapsed. Surprise! we've all had that. And we cling to those because those are the ones we want to remember to make sure they don't happen again. We forget about the happy surprises because we take them for granted. Now, let's talk about the unknown for a minute. This is where we can really, really open to a whole new portion of understanding about our renewal. We think the unknown is frightening. But let me tell you something, friends. 99.9.9.9.9 to the cube root is unknown. And yet you are in a safe and loving universe. When you were born, almost everything was unknown. And yet were not your happiest years. For most of us, our happiest years were our childhood. I know there are some exceptions, children born into extremely harsh circumstances. But on the average, even in challenging circumstances, most people look back on their childhood as the happiest time. That's when most everything was unknown to you. Almost everything. One of the interesting things that we forget is that when we're in the presence of the unknown, God more richly provides. And when God more richly provides, our needs are more greatly filled, and our cup is filled with more happiness. Yet, the longer we live, the more we become frightened of the unknown. That is the irony of human life. And I think this is really, really what Yeshua was telling us when he said, become as little children. Because for a little child, almost everything in life is unknown. How you will, what you will eat tomorrow is unknown. It's like the lilies of the field. It's unknown. Now, don't be in, if we're in a cloned situation where mentally now we're cloning yesterday, we're blocking the unknown. And we do that because we're afraid of the unknown. Those of you who came to be blessing givers know that one part of your blessing really involves actually, many parts of your blessing, to stress that point, many, involve the unknown. Be there. Embrace the unknown with a loving spirit of expectation. And in that spirit of expectation, allow yourself and your life to be renewed. And so that's, I think that's a really great place to end on this. I do see that we had some other callers on. I will take one more call very quickly. Area code 641. You're on. Hi. Are you still there?
Hello.
Hi.
Glenda, this is Sally in Iowa.
Hi, Sally.
Hello, thank you for this. So many lovely things, and I just must say, when you spoke of Christ still being alive today, it just filled my heart. So the way I'm starting my new spring, or it's been given to me, I've been with a health opportunity for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it, but I have to laugh about it. Anyway, because of it, I get to have a new hip replacement.
Oh, good!
I went to the specialist last week, and he said it would be 2 to 3 months before he could do the surgery.
Uh-huh.
Busy man. And as I left, the receptionist ran after me and said, "We just got a cancellation. Can you come April 13th?
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm excited. But it will be an opportunity for me not to feel like I have to get everything in order and done, which this illness has taught me, but I still haven't learned it. So I thought, how perfect. Today I noticed little green buds on the trees. Every place I look, I see little buds. And I thought, how perfect for me to pop out with spring, to walk out with spring.
And I can tell you, you'll be glad you did it.
Well, yes.
Let us know when you get closer to the date, and we'll hold you in our prayers.
Yeah, well, I think Sunday will be my last call, but I will I'll go to a nursing facility afterwards for a few weeks, and will either be on the call with you or in my heart. So I'm welcoming spring and that Yeshua will be my surgeon.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
So thank you so much for speaking up. And we really are glad there are other people on the call. And I want to encourage you not to wait so late next time, because I really do love having all of you on the call. And there are many ways I can weave my message around what each of you have to say, but I can't wait till the last minute to do it. So remember next time, star 5, much more quickly. Okay? We do need to get into the blessing.
Conference
want to
muted.
Everyone to remove your shoes and socks, have your bare feet on the ground. If you can't be sitting up, at least have your bare feet up to the wind. And it's better to have your spine straight up in a chair because of the pull of gravity. It's simply a gravitational thing. Some of you I know do have to be in a prone position because of your health, but where you can be sitting up, you don't have to be in a full straight yoga upright position. Just be to where you're comfortable and the flow of gravity can move from the top of your head to the stem of your spine. Okay, and your feet on the ground, again, connecting with the flow of gravity and the earth, because grounding is a very big part of the flow of this energy. And now I just want you to release the cares of the day, your life, and basically release life in all the ways you previously created it, because a lot of that is one cloned moment after another. And all of us have, at least in some part of our life, reached the limit of elasticity on where we are, what we're doing, who we're doing it with, or something about either our health or our way of producing income. Something has reached the limit of elasticity, and that's because we've overcloned everything. So let go. Just let go. Be here now and allow God to renew your life. This renewal is where all the miracles come from. And this is really the miracle of how God knows your every need and addresses your every need, because you have no need other than renewal. You were created in perfection. You were born in perfection. You reside in perfection, just as Yeshua the Christ resides eternally in perfection. You have basically only one need from the perspective of God, and that's renewal. Okay? So be here now and allow renewal to happen. And I would like you to allow your attention to fall in your heart. Put your mind on the bench. Your mind doesn't understand renewal at all, because your mind deals with it, your mind is completely factored on past events. Accumulation of experience, accumulation of data. It doesn't understand renewal. Your heart understands renewal. Every cell in your body understands renewal. Your soul understands renewal. Your connection with the Holy Spirit understands renewal. The presence of Christ in your life understands renewal. The presence of God in your life addresses your need for renewal. Okay? So now if you will begin your prayer, I will give my prayer to Yeshua, and then we will begin for 3 minutes conducting the energy that is provided for your renewal. Yeshua, Lord of the universe, brother of us all, teacher of us all, bringer of enlightenment, the one who has allowed us to see that the only thing we ever needed was renewal, the one who showed it by losing his life and reclaiming his life through the complete and perfected spirit of renewal, who didn't just live 2,000 years ago, but lives now among us, with us, and in us as the spirit of renewal. We thank you for offering this energy and making it ever available to us through the Holy Spirit, from our Creator, and anchored in our beautiful Mother Earth, who lives forever, perpetually, in the spirit of renewal. Even winter, from the perspective of our Earth, is renewal. Even fall, when the leaves fall, is renewal. Everything for our mother is renewal. Everything for our father is renewal. And the Holy Spirit is the energy of that renewal. Christ, we thank you. Yeshua, we thank you for lighting our hearts, illuminating our souls, and allowing us to be in this spirit of eternal springtime. Amen. Your energy conveyance is complete. God bless. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes so that you can continue assimilating this energy on a spiritual and cellular level, in your heart, in your soul, and in your body. God bless.